Even Dr. King's assassination did not have the worldwide impact that George Floyd's death did.
This morning, the major airlines warning of a possible catastrophic aviation crisis beginning in less than 24 hours.
I read their stuff and I took it seriously.
President Joe Biden said some ridiculous things yesterday. As per usual, airlines are issuing a very, very serious warning to flights domestically and abroad. And also got a chance to sit down with Dr. James Lindsay, the guy leading the charge fighting the whole woke critical race theory ideology. All that and more coming up on this episode of Daily Caller Live. My name is Joe Bob. Daily Caller Live starts right now.
3, 2, 1.
Here we go.
Might be the only brown guy on earth named Joe Bob.
That is actually her name, Joe Bob.
Live from a dingy bunker, completely cut off from the outside world, except for you fine folks. My name is Joe Bob. This is Daily Caller Live. On today, it is January 18th, the year of our Lord, 2022. We've got an interesting show for you today. Later on in the episode, we're going to replay those clips from the president saying that George Floyd's death moved the world, unlike Dr. Martin Luther King. Weird thing to say yesterday. Also, James Lindsay coming up. If you haven't heard of James Lindsay's act, holy cow, this guy is way too smart to be talking to guys like me. But I tried to keep up with him for a full 40 minutes. We're going to cut a little bit of that interview coming up. James Lindsay is on the forefront of fighting the super, super woke ideology that doesn't make any sense coming out of your schools, your colleges, all over the place. But before we get to that, I got to tell you about this. This is interesting going on right now. Airlines have issued a warning for the 5G rollout. Okay, you've heard of 5G probably. Antenna systems used to make the internet on your phone go really fast, really, really fast. The problem is the airline companies, the FAA, and a lot of your actual private airline companies, by private, I mean not private planes like American Airlines, United, those kind of airlines, all signed a letter yesterday going to the White House and the administration saying, hey, these 5G towers have a very, very big possibility of messing with our antenna systems and could cause some pretty crazy things going on. Listen to this from, I believe it was Good Morning America, and then we'll kind of discuss what's happening on the other side. Again, this is something that actually might affect you day to day. I'm flying tomorrow. I really hope I don't get stuck at the airport again. Check this out.
This morning, the major airlines warning of a possible catastrophic aviation crisis beginning in less than 24 hours when AT&T and Verizon are set to launch new, stronger 5G technology, which would give faster wireless service. The concern, whether 5G signals could interfere with radio altimeters. That's a device pilots use telling them how far they are from the ground and helping them land in poor visibility.
The frequencies being used in 5G are very close to the frequencies that are used in this radio altimeter.
So experts worry the devices might fail because of potential confusion of the 5G signals.
This is unsafe. Let us be clear. This is unsafe. The manufacturers have said so. Our airlines are saying so. The FAA is saying so. And so are pilot unions.
So that is what's going on. The chief executives of major U.S. passenger and cargo carriers on Monday warned of an impending catastrophic aviation crisis less than 36 hours away from when AT&T and Verizon are set to deploy their new 5G services. This could be a problem. So yesterday, a bunch of CEOs of a bunch of your big major airlines, United, American, Alaska, Southwest, all of your big domestic airlines said, hey, these 5G connections could mess with the altimeters trying to tell people how to land, trying to tell pilots how and when to land. So they're warning that there could be a huge problem when it comes to canceling flights, which we've seen pretty recently. We won't get into that, but the airlines warned that the new 5G bands services set to begin on Wednesday, tomorrow, could render a significant number of wide-body aircrafts unstable, could potentially strand tens of thousands of Americans overseas and cause chaos for U.S. flights. This is from Reuters, I'm reading from. The CEOs of these major U.S. passenger and cargo carriers say that action is urgent. The airlines added to the letter signed by UPS Airlines, Alaskan Airlines, Atlas Air, JetBlue, FedEx, all cargo carriers, in addition to American, Alaskan passenger airlines, Southwest, United, all of these guys signed on this letter that said, to be blunt, the nation's commerce will halt to a grind. That's what we need, more supply chain issues with shipping going across the country. So from what I gathered, and I'm not a pilot, I'm not in aviation. If you are, maybe shoot something in the comment section and let me know that I'm wrong. But this letter said wide-bodied aircrafts, which I think a lot of us fly on the three seats, aisle three seats airlines whenever we're going, at least domestically. Those are usually the planes I fly to when I fly on when I fly to Phoenix. I don't think those planes are going to be affected. What this specifically said is the wide bodies, the three seats, the five seats, and then the three additional seats. I think that's what they're talking about when they're talking about wide body aircrafts. And I think those planes are the ones that people are worried about more specifically. Again, I could be wrong, but I've tried pretty dang hard to figure out which airlines aircraft specifically, but it was pretty difficult to find because guess what? Journalists are lazy. Not me. The journalist reporting on this. Again, I'm not a pilot, so I don't actually know. But we'll keep an eye on this, and it's going to be really interesting to see how this turns out. That letter was addressed to a bunch of different people in the administration. Somebody you probably know is Pete Buttigieg, they say. That was also addressed to as he is the transportation secretary. But this could be interesting. If we see cargo planes get halted by 5G services, it's going to be interesting. Get your tin hats ready. Because I think we're going to have a really interesting conversation about 5G if this were to affect the way that commerce is done in the United States. I want to get to our conversation with James Lindsay. That's the thing at the headline here. We talked to, if you don't know who James Lindsay is, we talked to him for about, he's on the front lines of critical race theory. He is the guy that all of us are turning to fight back in the intellectual space. Look, I know and you know why the policies that are encompassed under the umbrella of critical race theory are bad. It's obvious. You can see them in your schools, all of that stuff. You understand why it's bad. Having said that, in the academic world, there are a lot of things that those academics say that we're like, I've never even heard of that. I don't know what you're talking about. All I know is that this is not good for my kids. That's the conversation that we generally have with the super woke academic world. The good thing about James Lindsay is he is in the academic world and fights them on their own playing field. So we got a really, really good discussion with him that we recorded previously that we'll play for you. But before we play that, I got to tell you about this. If you haven't seen, prices are going through the roof everywhere you look. Groceries, gas, energy prices, just regular everyday retail items. You go to a restaurant. My wife and I went to a restaurant over the weekend and they had brand new paper menus that upped the price of pretty much everything by at least a buck, sometimes even way more than that. You need to protect yourself. And the best way that you can do that is precious metals, gold specifically. You might be thinking, how do I invest in gold? Do I just get a U-Haul truck, back up some gold, dump it in the ground and bury it? You can do that, and if you want to do that, our friends at Birch Gold can also help you with that. But if you want to transfer your IRA, an existing IRA, or an existing 401k into a gold-backed IRA, our friends at Birch Gold will send you a no-obligation, no-risk, free packet that tells you exactly how you do so. If you text JOBOB to 989898, do it. I know you have your phone right now. JOBOB 989898 to Birch Gold. They'll send you everything you need to know about protecting your savings. Birch Gold is A+ rated by the Better Business Bureau. They're a fantastic company. If you're going to invest in gold, this is how you do it. And you can learn all about that by texting Joe Bob, JOBOB to 989898. Without further ado, I want to get to our conversation with Dr. James Lindsay. We talk about critical race theory, and I would love to hear your comments in the comment section. A couple things before, click the little like button if you haven't already. It helps us reach way more people. It really does. It doesn't cost you anything. And also click the little share button. That also helps us get to a huge swath of people that wouldn't otherwise hear what it is that we're saying here. And also see your comments in the comment section. So really appreciate you doing that. Just really quick, doesn't cost you anything. And also, this is a segment of a much longer interview. That interview will be up on the podcast. I think we talked for like, I told him, hey, man, can you give me 15, 20 minutes? We talked for 40. Fantastic dude. Love to take the time with him. But that full interview will be on the podcast. If you don't have the podcast, go grab the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and we'll continue airing segments of this throughout the week. All right, I'm going to stop talking. Without further ado, here is Dr. James Lindsay.
Awesome guest for us today, who I believe is on the front lines in the battle against the super hyper woke and CRT in the intellectual space.
I don't know if I can call him a friend yet, but here is Dr. James Lindsay joining us today. James, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, man. Yeah, you can call me a friend. I like
Okay,
you.
Cool. I appreciate that. So just kind of set things up for the people who are viewing and may not know who you are. Can you kind of explain why you've become the, I don't know, the biggest demon for the super woke left, especially on Twitter? How did that happen?
Yeah. Well, I mean, on Twitter, I troll them all the time. So that's part of it. And I'm not afraid to troll, even though I'm a so-called intellectual, mm-hmm. you know? So you pretend that everybody's all serious and intellectual world, and I don't. I just have fun. I just want to say what I want to say it the way I want to say it, mess with people a little bit if they take themselves too seriously, et cetera. So there's that. But I mean, the magic behind how I've become kind of what I am in the anti-woke or whatever you want to call it space is this is going to blow your mind what I did. I read their stuff and I took it seriously. That's it. That's the whole recipe. I read their stuff and I believed them. When they say things like we need a revolution, I was like, wow, these people want to have a revolution. And It's, you know, it sounds like that's really intense intellectual work, but it turns out it's actually really easy. You read what they say and then you believe them, and then you tell people what they say and they don't believe you. So then you read to them what they say and you say, see, they actually said it. And then they have this response that's, they can't really mean that. And I'm like, no, the magic sauce here is called believing them. When they say we need a revolution, when they say that we need to make race consciousness center in everything, just believe them. And then you realize, oh, wow, this is really bad. Wow, this is like Marxism and racism mixed mm-hmm. together into one thing with the goal of overthrowing society. Why? So that people like them can be put in charge of a program that they want to call something racial equity that mm-hmm. is a grift for them.
So I think a lot of people have a pretty good understanding of what is encompassed in this now blanket term of CRT and kind of how it's bad for schools. To kind of get to the strategy of what you were talking about, I'm assuming you're familiar with the Cloward-Piven strategy, which is, in my view, make things so chaotic and so bad that you have to start over. How is that actually the plan for the super wokes, and especially in the intellectual space, or is that kind of how they call it, just right-wing talking points?
Both, I think, actually. Okay. So I do think that that's part of the strategy. The woke, mm-hmm. I don't think, the woke themselves, you have to understand that there are two entities, sort of, they're really more than two, but we're going to focus on two entities that are kind of getting branded as woke with this kind of mm-hmm. broad brush term. And some of these people are actually woke in the sense that they are this kind of new derived form of Marxist. And sure, chaos benefits them, but they actually have an agenda, which is basically to empower themselves. And what the strategy is, if it's critical race theory, is that you're going to call everything racist until it's under your control. And mm-hmm. if it's feminism, you're going to call everything sexist and patriarchal until it's under your control. And mm-hmm. if it's this kind of queer theory stuff, you're going to call everything cis heteronormative and everybody's transphobic and homophobic and heteronormative, et cetera, until it's under your control. And so they have a very deliberate program that is not necessarily inducing chaos. It's to call everything by these names until they control mm-hmm. it. Now, on the other hand, there are these other people who primarily write the checks to the woke people. Mm. And they are big institution types. They are at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They're at the World mm-hmm. Economic Forum. They're at the Open Society Foundation, at the Rockefeller Foundation, at the Tides Foundation, at the Ford Foundation, all these huge foundations. Those people understand that if they create societal chaos, then, and that's the strategy you're talking about, they understand that in that space of societal chaos, there are lots of opportunities. For example, they can put out the old political canard. Here's a problem. We have to do something about it. This is something. Let's do that. You know, and so they move their agenda into that space. But it's also, as you were describing, their strategy is that they can capitalize in various ways upon the chaos that they're generating. But the actual people who are woke in the sense of actually having a woke consciousness, as you might call it, who aren't just using woke as a tool for their agenda, they actually have a different program entirely. Their goal is not to create chaos. It's to create what they believe is change. The thing is that their theory is absolutely self-contradictory and inconsistent. And so chaos follows in its wake. But their goal isn't actually to create chaos. It's to create control for themselves.
Interesting. So when we first met, you told me that I needed to watch your speech at the TPUSA America Fest because I believe it was a direct quote from you. I burned the house down with how good it was. And I did watch that. And you and Charlie were talking about queer theory, which was kind of foreign to me. Can you kind of explain what queer theory is and how it's being used? I also believe you described it as the gateway to hell. So maybe you can get there in your answer.
I did describe it as the gateway to hell. Queer theory is a very bizarre branch of Marxist theory. It derives kind of from feminism, or it's taken off from Marxist feminism. So the feminists wanted to give this idea that what makes male and female or man and woman what they are is the social construction of gender. So there are these roles attached to being male and female called sex roles, and they're imposed by the social structure. That means it's a Marxist type analysis, and that social construction of gender can be taken apart. So there, you can have, if a guy wants to be effeminate, there's nothing wrong with that. And if a woman wants to be a tomboy or masculine or whatever, there's nothing wrong with that. And it doesn't change their essential maleness or femaleness or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so you can kind of see that they're coming at it from this angle. We shouldn't prescribe roles for men and prescribe roles for women, even if in reality they are statistically strongly correlated, but that doesn't mean ironclad. The queer theorists go a step further and they're like, no, the whole thing, sex too, all of it, is all socially constructed.
Yeah.
It's none of it's real. And basically your sex, your gender, your entire identity in terms of sex, gender, and sexuality is up for grabs. They also actually do another one people don't talk about, which is romantic orientation, believe it or not. So there's like these four dimensions. How do you, male or female, what is your sex? How does their sex present? What is your gender? And then you have these two other categories. What is your sexual relationship to other people? And what is your romantic attraction to other people? And all of that for the queer theorists is up for grabs. Your identity is an identity without an essence for queer theory. That's what queer means, is an identity that has no essential qualities whatsoever. It's totally fluid. It can totally move around. And so their target is anything that's considered normal is creating an oppressive structure. So it's normal for men to like women. It's normal for men to want to get jacked and do manly things. Like, I saw a video the other day that's on the internet. I was scrolling and it said, "This is the perfect video for every man in your life." And I kid you not, all it was a picture or the video. The guy's foot reaches out to a rock on a hill and he pushes the rock and the rock rolls down the hill. That's it. And I watched the whole video and I was like, and no woman would understand why any man would just want to watch a rock roll down a hill.
Peak masculinity.
It's something weird about masculinity. And so what they would argue though, is that considering that normal for men is actually oppressive. The idea that there's any normal behavior for men, normal behavior for women, normal masculine behavior, normal feminine behavior, normal sexual behavior, including not having sex with children, that there's any range of normal is actually an oppression, a form of oppression for them. And so they want to break it apart. And so now you can start to see, I said it's the gateway to hell, but you can start to see how it's the gateway to hell, because if there's nothing that's considered normal and you're literally in anything goes, you're really in a state of complete chaos. But what I meant on stage at TPUSA when I said it's opening the gates to hell is that they're actually applying this to children.
Okay.
So I think that actually perfectly leads us into the next thing I wanted to talk about. This idea of social emotional learning, the SEL, I guess is it's the acronym that's used for it. Is it pushing its way into that? And is that kind of the new undercover way of pushing this stuff into kids' minds via the government schools?
Yes. So social emotional learning, and I have to hesitate a moment as I answer that about what it is. Because I've heard two accounts of where it came from, and I don't know which one is valid yet.
Okay.
But I'm going to take the more charitable account. And the more charitable account is that it arose from psychologists looking at kids who are struggling in schools.
Okay.
Kids that have trouble at home, kids who are flipping out about the lessons, they're not comfortable with the social environment, whatever it is. They have what we used to call back in the day troubled kids for whatever reason. They have problems. So, you know, there's the counseling center at the school. You know, sometimes it's in-house, sometimes it's like separate. But you would take these kids that were having problems that were interrupting their learning, whether it's, like I said, issues at home, issues with the material, issues with other kids, can't get along. And social emotional learning, from what I understand, was developed in order to intervene with those kids to teach them how to interact with their own social environment and the emotions that they're experiencing so that they can kind of get those under control and improve their learning circumstances in school.
Which seems fine.
Not only is it fine, it worked.
Yeah.
It worked really well. Now, what happened was this got colonized by the Marxists, who rebranded it as transformative SEL. Mm. And by the way, transformative is almost always a dead giveaway word that you're dealing with Marxists. So transformative SEL has this idea that you're now going to transform the individual children, but it's not even done the way that I just described. You are no longer identifying the troubled kids. You're saying if this is good for the troubled kids, it's good for all the kids. And if there are these oppressive power structures, then all the kids in some sense are troubled. So now it's getting applied by teachers who are not psychologists in classrooms, which are not therapeutic spaces, engaging in basically group psychology techniques and other psychological breakdown techniques and even cult indoctrination techniques. Under the guise of creating a more emotionally literate or emotionally intelligent student body, because the assumption is, if we're going to be very charitable, is that if it works for some, it works for everybody. Now, what they've done is, in terms of understanding your social environment and understanding identity within social environment, is they brought in tools like critical race theory and queer theory. And, you know, maybe there's one kid in the class who's gay or whatever it happens to be. Well, now the whole class is going to get through, put through the entire queer theory rigmarole and the gender theory rigmarole. And maybe the secret is that lots of them are actually secretly gay and they can't come out because of the social and emotional experience that they're having at home. Maybe their parents wouldn't approve and they're afraid of that. And so you can see that there's this element where they use queer theory and gender theory to groom kids. And then the same thing is happening within race. You have to understand the social environment of structural racism, blah, blah, blah. So critical race theory and queer theory and, you know, even things like fat studies and disability studies are being shuttled in through the social emotional learning program, which uses psychology as a tool out of its context in uncontrolled settings by unqualified people to break kids down psychologically, to bring in these ideas, to get them to think about the world this way. And, I can even tell you it's a reproduction of what Mao Zedong did to create the Red Guard in China in the 1960s and 1970s in his schooling programs.
So that was Dr. James Lindsay. Again, that was a conversation from recorded from a couple days ago. But Dr. James Lindsay, I think, is going on Rogan earlier or later this week. So we'll check him out there. Lots to see some comments in here. I thought this one was interesting from Jess. Transformative or reimagined are magic words. Yeah, I think you're right, Jeff. That is exactly. And then that's what James Lindsay was saying, too, of just making up words and making them sound good, and people just go along with it without recognizing all of the craziness going on with that. If you like that part of the segment or like that segment with James Lindsay, the full podcast or the full conversation with him will be up on the podcast apps. And I believe we'll upload it to the Daily Caller Facebook page and YouTube page, hopefully today. And you can see that there. James is an incredibly smart guy that runs circles around me intellectually, so I'm glad he took the time to chat. I got to tell you about this. Here's a new thing that's coming back up in conversation, especially regarding this whole voting stuff. It was interesting yesterday to see the entire lefty mainstream media talk about how Martin Luther King is a reason for the Federal Voting Act. So that doesn't doesn't really make a lot of sense. Dr. Martin Luther King being used as a poster child for the federal government taking over unconstitutionally the election laws of the states. Wasn't quite sure why that was happening, but it was. And that led to this hilarious Joe Biden clip. You're going to hate me. But before I tell you about that, stick around, too, because you need to see this clip if you haven't already. I got to tell you about inflation. Inflation is going through the roof. If you haven't already, you've definitely seen prices go up. I had to take out a second loan on my home to buy a pack of bacon. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but bacon is through the roof. This is an atrocity. This is an American complete emergency. But yeah, you've seen the prices go up. The gallon of milk is more expensive. You go to restaurants and the food is more expensive. They don't have staffed work because people can't pay enough because inflation is through the roof. With that being said, you know what inflation is? Inflation is a hidden tax on your savings. I have savings more of it is in actual cash than I want it to, so I am buying gold at the fastest possible rate. How do you buy gold? Well, our friends at Birch Gold, if you are interested in this, will send you a free, no obligation, no risk, no nothing packet to teach you everything you need to know about buying gold in order to protect your savings. And not just buying gold, actually, you can move your IRA, your existing IRA, your existing 401k, your retirement plans into, or maybe even just partially, into a gold-backed IRA. And the best way you can do that is with our friends at Birch Gold. You can learn all about that by texting J-O-B-O-B, Joe Bob, to 989898. I know you got your phone sitting right next to you because everyone has their phone within arm's reach all the time. Do it quick. Do it today. You're going to thank me later. Protect your savings against inflation by texting J-O-B-O-B to 989898. With that, I want to get to this. This is a quote from President Joe Biden yesterday. We played it at the beginning of the show, but he said it. I will discuss it after this. Check this out.
But even Dr. King's assassination did not have the worldwide impact that George Floyd's death did.
So there's that. President of the United States saying that even Dr. King's assassination did not have the worldwide impact. I'm not entirely sure what he meant by that, or if he meant to say that, or just kind of did one of his whole Biden rambly things. I guess if we're being charitable, which I'm feeling a little charitable today, maybe he was remarking on the fact that the internet explodes things all over the world and the internet didn't exist in the 60s. So there's that. Maybe that's what he's talking about. But even if you have a point there, I guess that's not something you should say out loud. You can't say that George Floyd, again, terrible situation what happened with George Floyd, and Derek Chauvin, the police officer, was found guilty of murder, so I'm not going to campy around that. But that's what happened. If I'm being charitable, I guess the only way you can describe what he said or justify what he said is, yeah, the internet didn't exist when Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated. So, yeah, it didn't have that much of an impact around the world. But to say if he was, though, comparing George Floyd to Martin Luther King, we have some problems. That was a weird thing to say. On top of that, yesterday, you saw a bunch of your super woke lefty politicians, news channels, all of that, using Dr. King and his birthday as a reason that we need to pass federal voting legislation, which is unconstitutional. The Constitution pretty explicitly gives the rights to vote to the states, or the rights to elections and how they want to conduct elections to the states, but we won't get it super into that. But they're trying to pass this voting thing and using Martin Luther King as a poster child for this. What I thought was interesting was what the mayor of Washington, D.C. said yesterday. Listen to this, and then we'll discuss on the other side. Again, using Martin Luther King's birthday to try and push voting legislation, and through the voting legislation, they're trying to push D.C. statehood. Watch this.
I came here today to make sure that no one forgets about Washington, D.C. because we cannot talk about voting rights without talking about the disenfranchisement of 700,000 taxpaying Americans right here in Washington, D.C., a legacy of slavery and Jim Crow America.
Whoa.
Today we're talking about the filibuster, but consider this. We wouldn't even be in this situation if Washington, D.C. had two senators.
All right. Okay. So, all right. Okay. All right. Okay. First things first, again with the Jim Crow thing, I don't know if these people have history books or any ability to read any sort of articles on the internet about how bad and awful Jim Crow was. Jim Crow was terrible. Nobody's denying that. What happened in Jim Crow was absolutely awful, especially in the South when you had black people being chased down and lynched in the streets for voting. That was Jim Crow. Now, some states, some responsible states, are saying that, hey, you need to show an ID to prove that you're allowed to vote here in this country, because you have to be a citizen in order to vote in the United States of America. So you have to show an ID to prove that you are who you are. That's worse, according to these people, that is worse than Jim Crow. Remember, Joe Biden said, this is Jim Crow on steroids, what they're doing in Georgia. I can't bring that up enough. I think that's one of the worst things a president has ever said, and they're continuing to use that. So on top of that whole craziness, then she goes on to say, well, you know, we wouldn't have this situation if Washington had two senators of its own. Washington was a state. There's a lot of reasons as to why Washington, D.C. is not a state, probably best described in the Federalist Papers. You know what? Maybe I should have a friend on who was really, really into the Federalist Papers to talk about that. Maybe I'll see if she wants to hop on and talk about this. But D.C. statehood is not a state for a reason. There is a simple fix to it. And now that I'm thinking about it, maybe we'll save this for this discussion. There's a simple fix. Maybe just have all the D.C. residents vote in Maryland. Without getting into the nitty-gritty of it, into the weeds of it, there's the solution. Just have them all vote for president and Senate in all the federal offices in Maryland. They can keep Maryland state elections away from themselves. But the Federalist Papers basically said that the seat of the federal government should be controlled exclusively by Congress to avoid Congress giving any sort of favor to any particular state that would house Washington, D.C. There's a lot more to dive into there, but that's the baseline gist of it. Also, and I tweeted this when she said this yesterday, okay, if you want to make D.C. a state, that's fine. Let's go ahead and also split up California into three separate states. I would imagine once that gets brought up, nobody's going to be talking about it, because the section of California that I live in is super, super red and has a pretty, pretty right-leaning conservative ideology, and also way up north in California does. So if you want to make D.C. a state and you want to make Puerto Rico a state just so that you can get the Democrat votes, here's a proposal. We can go ahead and do that only after we split up California into three states, in which you have Los Angeles and San Francisco go all the way up the coast. That can be one state, and they can have two senators. And then the super red Central Valley all the way up to the Northern California, they can be another state, the state of Jefferson, maybe. And that'll be super, super red. And then also Orange County, Riverside County, San Bernardino County, all the way down to San Diego County, that can also be its own state with its own two senators. Guess what? That state's probably going to be pretty dang red, too. So if you want to talk about D.C. statehood and Puerto Rican statehood, that's fine. Here's the compromise. Guess what? I guarantee you their tune is going to be changing if, in fact, we were able to pull that off. There's my rant on that. That's going to do it for us today. We'll see you right here tomorrow. Actually, I think we're going to be a little bit early tomorrow. Wow, I got a long day tomorrow. We're going to be on, actually, I'll be on OAN later today talking about a couple different issues. I'm going to be on Real America's Voice tomorrow morning. Then I got to fly to Phoenix to go to TPUSA Live, but we're going to do this show like we always do every single day. I'm not going anywhere, not leaving you. We'll do the show probably 7:30 Pacific time, 10 a.m. Eastern time, but you can always rewatch on Facebook, YouTube, grab the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. You're always able to rewatch the show if you miss it live, for any reason. Don't miss it live. Never miss it live. But if not, you can also follow me on social media at J-O-B-O-B. If you already follow me on social media, you probably know that I get back to most things. So the best way to send me things that are going on in your neck of the woods to follow me on social media at J-O-B-O-B. Just type in J-O-B-O-B pretty much anywhere. Gitter, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. There's not many Joe Bobs out there. And if you see a brown guy pop up in the little icon circle thing, yeah, that's probably me. But you can send me messages, anything that's going on in your neck of the woods. The biggest thing that somebody sent me recently was the whole parents should surrender their kids to the government thing. I had so many people send me that. I was like, yeah, I got to take a look at this. And I did, and it was nuts. We read that yesterday. If you missed yesterday's episode, grab the podcast, rewatch on Facebook, rewatch on YouTube, wherever you can watch the Daily Caller live show. But that's going to do it. We'll see you tomorrow, an hour earlier-ish, but same place. Daily Caller, wherever you're watching, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all of those places. We will be there. See you tomorrow. God bless America.